The following program comes to you as part of the Africa Health Network, a service of the Voice of America to our audience throughout the African continent.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu, and welcome to Health Chat. Mobile health, or mHealth, is a term used for the practice of medicine and public health, supported by mobile devices such as mobile phones and tablet computer, to provide health services and information, among other things. Well, on today's show, we will discuss mHealth, or mobile health, and how it is being explored in sub-Saharan Africa. Joining us via phone from London is Dr. Adesina Iluyemi. He is an expert in mHealth, eHealth, and telemedicine innovation and policy development, and vice president of the organization Mobile Diagnosis Services, or MODISE. Dr. Iluyemi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Muhammadu.
It's good to have you, and I talked about how you are an expert on mHealth, eHealth, and telemedicine. I'm looking forward to having more clarification on this because it's a bit confusing, isn't it?
It is not confusing.
Well, we will.
Straightforward.
Great. We will get more into it in a second, and you will enlighten us a little bit more. And also joining us via phone is Bright Simmons. He's founder of MPedigree, and in an innovative approach that is empowering consumers to authenticate the safety of pharmaceuticals at point of purchase. Mr. Simmons, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Good evening.
Good evening. It's good to have you. And we look forward to hearing more about MPedigree. It's been all over the news. So welcome.
And Thank you again.
If you would like to participate in the show with your question or comment today, please call 202-619-3111. The U.S. country code is 1. Ask your international operator to reverse the charges. You can also email us your thoughts at healthchat@voanews.com. So we will start discussing mobile health in a moment. But first, over 4,000 people from 50 countries gathered near Washington, D.C. recently to discuss how mobile technology is affecting healthcare. Voice of America's Joy DiCapua reports.
The fourth annual mHealth Summit brings together experts from the private sector, NGOs, governments, and the technology industry. Organizers call it the mHealth ecosystem. Patricia Michelle is executive director of the mHealth Alliance, which aims to mainstream the use of mobile technologies to address critical health issues.
In the world, there are 6 billion mobile phone subscriptions in a population of 7 billion people. And the most rapidly growing markets are those in developing countries. Africa, as a continent, you have widespread adoption where 3 or 4 years ago, the penetration rates were 20% or 30%. And now they're getting upwards of 60% in some countries.
She says a lot of work is being done to use mobile technologies for maternal and child health.
Earlier work had been to look at mobile technologies and HIV and AIDS, and so we have some great evidence on the use of mobile for things like treatment adherence and compliance and care management. And increasingly it's being used to address everything from malaria to tuberculosis to just general strengthening of the health system.
Also attending the mHealth Summit is Kirsten Gagnier, Global Director of the Mobile Alliance for Maternal Action, also known as MAMA. It's a public-private partnership launched by Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in 2011. It includes USAID, Johnson & Johnson Company, the United Nations Foundation, and the mHealth Alliance.
There's about 800 women a day globally and about 3 million babies every year that die from pregnancy and childbirth-related causes. And most of those deaths are preventable, and most of those deaths occur in the developing world. And the kinds of reasons that these deaths occur are from not having basic information, again, about how to care for themselves, when women need to seek care, and how to give care to their infants.
She says MAMA sends messages to mobile phones to educate women about their health.
We have a set of messages that cover pregnancy and the first year of a baby's life. And these messages are overseen by a very high-level global health medical advisory board. And then we have guidelines to help countries take these basic sets of messages and really localize them for their local context.
Patricia Michelle of the mHealth Alliance says those messages can be text or voicemail.
For example, you can have a pregnant woman in Bangladesh registered into a system that provides messages that are timed to her pregnancy that can help her know what to do, when to do certain things, and then when to go in for specific treatment issues or prevention care like immunizations and that sort of thing.
She says, however, the mHealth field can be fragmented in providing services.
One of the areas that we're really advocating for, the development of, you know, national strategies and policies, standards that can help bring some sense and sensibility to all of the work that's happening on the ground. And so just really encouraging, whether it's policymakers or donors, to really think systematically about how their investments are going to fit in with everything that's happening in the space.
Gagnier of the Mobile Alliance for Maternal Health says internet access in developed countries can be taken for granted.
A lot of people in the developed world believe that everyone has access to the internet. But if you think about what it means to have access to the internet, you've got to be able to do a search. You have to be able to read through thousands of entries that come back to you on Google, for example, and then figure out what that information means to you. And that's not something that someone in a poor, illiterate, or semi-literate kind of situation can do.
She says health messages may not only be sent to the pregnant woman, for example, but to her husband and mother-in-law, so they too understand what needs to be done. Organizers of the mHealth Summit say one of the major challenges is integrating an overwhelming stream of continuous information into health systems and patient care. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
Dr. Adesina and Mr. Simmons, again, thank you for joining us. Let me start with you, Dr. Adesina. Before we talk about mobile health, which is essentially what we will be discussing today, I mentioned earlier about telemedicine, e-health, and mHealth, in which you specialize in. Can you kind of briefly tell us what the difference is?
The differences are very technical, and for the sake of our audience, I won't go into that, but I will just explain it this way, that mHealth telemedicine here is about the exchange of information, and it's about communication. And what you exchange is data in the form, data could be like, could be in the form of voice, it could be in form of data, it could be in form of video. So what matters is the underlying technology. So what we used to do with fixed wire line technologies and with telephones in our houses or in our offices, we now do with mobile phones. So yes, the term HEMET just describe that. Health information and data is being transmitted and exchanged by the use of mobile phones and wireless technologies.
Okay, that's a good idea, at least for us now, to in terms of clarification. Now, speaking of mobile health, we see here that this has been, it seems that it's a trend. I don't know if I can call it a trend, but Africa is very much connected to the mobile health trend and following the rest of the world. Mr. Simmons, you have come up with this idea in tackling the problem of counterfeit medicine. Tell us about MPedigree. Are you using SMS to help people check the validity of their medicine? Tell us about that.
Thank you. So we've developed a system that allows manufacturers to uniquely and individually tag each pharmaceutical pack with a different ID. So you know the way barcodes work. Barcodes are static. If you take three packs of the same medicine, they will all have the same barcode. What we've done is made it possible for manufacturers at very low cost to apply a different code for each pack and then to conceal that code in a way that makes it impossible for somebody just picking up that pack to see the code until they purchase the medicine and unveil that code. So you unveil that code by removing the concealment, which is typically a scratch layer. So you scratch off the layer, and then that unique ID, which is unique to that single pack you're holding, becomes evident. You then send that code in an SMS to a toll-free hotline, which is like a special phone number that we've set up in each country on multiple telecom networks, and it's extremely secure and can therefore not be duplicated. So typically, it's a four-digit number. You send this code, and in most African countries, it's just 1393. You send the code on the pack of medicine to this 1393, and you get a response back in 2 seconds confirming three things. One, that the pack you are holding is the original pack as it left the factory, that is made by the original manufacturer. Two, that that particular medicine is registered in the country and that the manufacturer is legitimate. And three, that nothing has happened since the manufacture of that medicine to warrant it being withdrawn from the market. So there is no blacklist issued against it. There's no recall or withdrawal notice issued against that medicine. And this would typically mean that medicine is in compliance with good manufacturing practices. So it helps address both the problem of counterfeiting, where people copy medicines and make their fake copies look like the original medicine. And then it solves the second problem, or rather it helps to solve the second problem, which is substandard medicines, which are medicines that are made not in compliance with current good manufacturing practices, but which in Africa tend to be very difficult to withdraw out of the market. Because not only does our system allow the consumer to get information relevant to that single pack, it also allows the overall ecosystem to be mapped. Because every time people authenticate these medicines, that information goes into an analytical system that builds a map of that supply chain in the country. So where are medicines going? Where are they being used? Which type of medicines are being prescribed? What are the changing patterns in the way medicines are being, prescribed and used? So it has a big data implication, which simply means that the data coming out of the system is just as useful for the overall ecosystem or the overall public health system as it is for the individual benefiting from the knowledge that I've bought a pack of medicine that is more likely to save my life than to harm me.
That's very, very interesting. And what type of medicine, as of today, what type of medicine have been registered as under the MPedigree, or has this become a step for all types of drugs in the country, in specifically where you started, in Ghana, I believe?
Yes, we initiated a process in Ghana as a pilot program, and now we've suspended to as many as 7 countries in Africa where we conducted additional pilots. In 3 of those countries, Ghana, Nigeria, and Kenya, we are offering a full range of services, having gone beyond the pilot stage, which typically is a very difficult hurdle for mHealth projects to scale. Beyond that, in 2 of those countries, in Nigeria and Kenya, the governments of those countries have made mobile phone authentication part of the regulatory process for ensuring or assuring quality in those markets.
Okay.
And then in 1 of those countries, in Nigeria, the government has actually gone even further to make this process mandatory for all antimalarials. So all antimalarials in Nigeria are now required by law from next year to comply with this process, which will mean that every antimalaria will carry the system. More interestingly, we've now also began a process of rolling out in India and signed as many as 21 Indian pharmaceutical companies with the hope that we actually offer the service in India. And that will mean that not only have we succeeded in crossing borders in Africa with this innovation, but we've also crossed continents by sending our innovation developed in Africa into the Indian subcontinent. And that marks a very important milestone in the mHealth trajectory so far.
It's very important because to see that a technology is leaving Africa to go to the rest of the world, very interesting. Dr. Adesina, let me have you comment on this technology, but also talk to us about your focus with Modise, your organization, in which you focus on diagnosis.
Yes, please. Thank you very much. Mobile phone and wireless technology, I believe, and many experts believe as well, that it's made for Africa. because of the nature of our geography and also because of the distribution of our population. We have more people living in rural areas and they are widely dispersed. So this kind of technology, because it's low cost and it's very easy to deploy, so it fits the environment and it can be used effectively to address many of the problems that we face in Africa, not only in healthcare, but in other areas like education and agriculture as well. And MODISE, which stands for Mobile Diagnosis Services, we actually found out that the word MODISE, I think in Swahili, means the shepherd. So this, we set this up in 2 years ago when we found out that there are a lot of one of the major problems we have in healthcare delivery in Africa, in other developing countries, is that you need to there's problem with diagnostic equipment, diagnostic medical equipment. They are very expensive and also they are not fit for the environment in Africa countries. Take for example, a microscope costs as high as $10,000 to $20,000. And from my own personal experience working as a clinician in Africa, not all the hospitals have this very essential diagnostic device. But what we found out is that it's possible to make mobile phones, advanced mobile phones that we call smartphones, to make them to work as microscope. But 2 years ago, we found that the global attention was not directed in this way, and people were focusing on other areas. So we decided to form MODISE as a non-for-profit organization to advocate and also promote the development of low-cost and appropriate mobile medical and laboratory devices.
Okay. All right.
And in the last... Pardon me?
No, go ahead. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will continue with more information on MODISE and how Africa is catching up with the mobile health trend that is out there. Mr. Simmons and Dr. Adesina, stay with us. We're going to take a short break and come back. It's
Thank
now
you.
Time for the news. Sudan's Federal Ministry of Health is organizing an emergency mass vaccination campaign against mosquito-borne yellow fever in the Darfur region. The latest figures from the World Health Organization put the number of suspected cases of yellow fever at more than 700, including 165 deaths. This is the worst yellow fever epidemic to strike Africa in two decades. WHO reports the emergency response vaccination campaign will cover 5.5 million people. It is being conducted in three phases. A new study conducted by Chinese researchers found that the human papilloma virus, or HPV, known to cause cervical cancer, is also tied to a 5 times greater risk of cancer of the vocal cords or voice box. The research combined the results of 55 studies from the past two decades. It showed that HPV infection, especially high-risk type HPV-16, was found to be significantly associated with the risk of laryngeal squamous cell carcinoma. 28% of people with laryngeal cancers had cancerous tissue that tested positive for HPV. The study was published in the Journal of Infectious Diseases. And finally, in other research, a scientist in the United Kingdom say secondhand smoke and fetal exposure due to maternal smoking while pregnant significantly increase the risk of invasive meningococcal disease. They say the risk for children under 5 is even higher, and for children born to mothers who smoke during pregnancy, the risk increases to 3 times that of children born to non-smoking households. They say while they cannot be sure exactly how tobacco smoke is affecting these children, the findings from the study highlight consistent evidence of the further harms of smoking around children and during pregnancy. And that's a wrap-up of the latest health news. Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing mobile technology with my guests, Dr. Adesina Iluyemi with the Mobile Diagnosis Services and Mr. Bright Simmons with MP Degree. And we do have our caller, Abuba from Nigeria. Welcome to Health Chat.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening, Abuba. Welcome. Please go ahead with your question.
Now, with the current GSM operation, Ma,
yes,
does it cause any death as a result of sending or calling?
Oh, okay. So you would like to know if the GSM operation... Okay.
Does it have any impact? Does it cause any death or this thing? Can one be attacked using GSM?
Okay.
GSM or
yes,
call or packaging?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for your question. And I think his question was more related to maybe the dangers of cell phone. Today we're discussing mobile health. So we will keep that question for a follow-up when we discuss the dangers of cell phone. But Dr. Adesina, I received an email message from Cynthia from South Africa, and she asked, can the doctor clarify how a cell phone can be used as a microscope? I don't know if that's a fair question, but...
Yes, it is simple. It's a mobile phone, or what we call smartphone nowadays, with a camera.
Yes.
It can be used as a microscope, but that requires another device to be attached to the mobile phone. And that is the area we are working at, is to make sure that these devices, as they are coming out of laboratories from around the world, can be made available in Africa at a low cost, in which hospitals and government can afford. So at the moment, it's possible to have that kind of device. You can attach your mobile phone less than $700. We still believe that is not low cost enough, but that is still not available, but it's a far way, and it's a progress from what we have at the moment, where a microscope costs between $10,000 to $20,000. But there's a lot to be done. But these technologies are there, and Modise is working to ensure that these technologies are made affordable, available and affordable in African countries.
Okay. And Mr. Simmons, this question is for you from Christian, who sent a question on Facebook. He wants to know, he's from Cote d'Ivoire, and he wants to know if MP degree will be extended to all African countries, especially French-speaking.
We currently have a partnership with Orange Telecom, which is, as I'm sure you're aware, an affiliate of France Telecom. And we've been working with them very closely with plans of extending this service in their various markets, which include, I think, Cote d'Ivoire, Cameroon, and a number of other Francophone countries. So we very much have plans of doing so. However, the pace of progress is somewhat, at this point, dictated by pharmaceutical companies because, you know, the system requires that they implement the procedures in their packaging. So we are not at liberty to expand except when pharmaceutical companies are ready to expand. But we are now at this stage integrating our service with a very leading French pharmaceutical company that also maintains supply chain operations in a lot of African Francophone countries. And that gives me the confidence that at least within a year or two, some Francophone countries should be able to benefit from this service.
Okay. Well, Dr. Adesina, let's talk about some of the challenges. We see that it seems to be working with the cell phone, but what are some of the challenges when it comes to, you know, applying mobile health in general in Africa when we considering the digital gap between Africa and the West and with regards to some of the specific devices?
There are a lot of challenges at different levels of the system. generally, the mobile phones are becoming more affordable, but not everyone can still afford a mobile phone in Africa. And the type of mobile phone that can really do justice for Hemet, the so-called smartphone, are still not yet widely available in African countries. But the trend is that the prices are dropping, and in the next few years, we're going to have it widely available. Another problem is also the coverage of the network and the infrastructure problem.
And what about sometimes even electricity can be a problem?
Electricity is a problem as well, but there are different technological ways that people have been devising to get around that. There's the use of portable solar chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so those are the issue of with the infrastructure is that in many areas where you have people in the urban areas and to some extent in rural areas, you have what you call the basic GSM coverage. But because healthcare is very data intensive, so you need more than basic GSM. And many operators in Africa have started deploying what you call GPRS, which is a bit higher than GSM, and it has capability of transmitting data, but more needs to be done to deploy 3G network. We can make the full deployment of Hemet possible for telemedicine and also for other purposes.
Okay. And Mr. Simmons, let's talk about the challenges that you were confronted with when you started your project. And what type of supports did you need or do you receive from government?
So the challenge I believe that MPEDGRI has faced is generally the same challenges that most mHealth projects face, which is that the launch, because we're dealing with health, it's a very ecosystemic issue. You know, you have a whole ecosystem of different actors, physicians, governments, telecom companies, in some cases pharmaceutical companies or medical device companies. And all of these companies operate within, you know, their own domain. Whereas most mHealth applications require some kind of cross-functionality, some ability to cross various domains within that health ecosystem. The challenge is that typically to scale a service or a product, you target it as a niche, a specific niche in the market that you can meet. And it's very difficult for innovators who turn out to be the people to come up with these new ideas to go beyond what is the traditional role of an innovator and entrepreneur, which is to meet a specific need with a financial model that is underwritten by a specific client. And when we are dealing with so many of these ecosystem players, it becomes very difficult to operate as a traditional entrepreneur or innovator. So you find innovators like myself running around the continent trying to unify telecom operators, trying to bring on board governments, trying to bring on board pharmaceutical companies, and that's just too much. That's not the standard practice in the market. The standard practice in the market, you come up with a specific product or service, and then you target it at a specific buyer.
Okay.
And because that model is not there, scaling has been difficult for most mHealth projects because how easy is it going to be to align all these multiple interests?
Absolutely.
So the biggest challenge was how do we align these interests? How do we get pharmaceutical companies and telecom companies sitting around the same table under the assumption that if they work together, the benefits will accrue to both of them equally or to both parties equally? That was very hard.
Okay, and we're running out of time, unfortunately, and this is a very good discussion. Mr. Simmons, thank you so much for joining us today. And
thank you very much for having us.
And Dr. Adesina, thank you for your time and joining us today on the show.
You're welcome. Just to round up, is there time? At Modise, we need, at the moment, we're facing some challenges, mostly financial constraints.
Of course.
And we're looking forward to form partnership that will enable us to achieve the goal that we've set out.
Thank you so much. And thanks to all of you for joining us, to producer Jackson Vingani. I'm your host, Lino Mudu in Washington. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.